Psalm 98 if you have your Bibles. Just a few moments, I'm not going to take a long time. I've been studying the life of Asaph in Psalm 73. And got a book written by a friend of mine, Secret Doubts. My brother Tim Zacharias.
Okay.
He's a church planter and near Groton, is it? Massachusetts. No, Connecticut. Yeah. Lord did a series of works in his life, ended up with a bone cancer that basically was putting holes in his spine. And basically come down to a lot of doubts in his life. Well, we all ask those questions, don't we? Why? And we ask ourselves that question sometimes in our own life. But I think one of the things I focus as I look at the life of Asaph, a couple other singers there in the First Chronicles, one thing that attracts my attention as Christians, I'm supposed to put that on pause, right? As Christians, we've got to come to the realization, what is going to remove this doubt? People write from that aspect. People look at life and they ask these questions. And I myself have asked the question. But aside from his study and aside from his research, I begin my own research. One of the things that encourages me is when I go to the book of First Chronicles, you look at, started reading in chapter 15, God put men in leadership to do something amazing. That's worship. Now, I like music. Started taking keyboard piano lessons when I was 6 years old. I loved it. Went up through high school. Quit for a little while. Went back to college, picked it up again. But one of the things I teach our people in India is the right aspect of worship. Modern day worship says we all stand up, raise our hands, shake, jump. Okay? And it becomes an emotional issue. But as I studied the book of Psalms, and I want to take a look at Psalm 98 just for a few moments. The Bible says in verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." A new song. "For he had done marvelous things, his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." And I believe if God is willing to use us, we have to come through that same avenue. There has to be a new song in our heart.
Amen.
If you want victory, there's got to be a new song in the heart. Think about that for a moment. And I tell people all the time, what kind of music you got on your phone? What are you listening to at home? What are you exposing your kids to? Are we allowing the standard of the world, and we use the word compromising churches, for lack of a better word, but their standard is not the word of God. It's always emotion.
Yep.
Always, every single time. And when we understand the goodness of God, as we talked about Thursday night, it's not based on emotion. It's based on the character of God. Now I have a question. If his goodness is based on his character, then why can't his song be based on his character?
Amen.
Does that make sense to you? If his goodness is so based on his essential character, immutability, right? Unchanging God. Holiness, a righteous God. That's his goodness for you and me every single day. And as I was meditating on that, I thought, you know, why isn't our music based on God's immutability? Unchanging God. And so what he says here, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." Verse 2, "The Lord hath made known his salvation." Not only do we have a song to sing about, it has to be new. Well, my wife has said this many, many times. You know, kids that grow up in a Christian home, they know what it means to be a Christian. They know how to act like a Christian. They know how to live like a Christian. But guess what? That doesn't make them a Christian.
That's right.
And this is one thing I concern for my own 5 kids. They know what a Christian life is. They know how to live it. They know how to act it.
But do they have it?
Amen.
That has to start with something new in my heart. Not based on church, not based on society, not based on education, and not even based on the home. The song comes from the heart. And that new song is a new believer, is the new regenerate heart. That new song has to be. And Miriam writes one of the first songs in the Bible. Remember Moses' sister?
Yeah.
One of the first songs written, recorded for us. I know there's a few other ones, small ones. Okay? But it shows the work of God. And I got a question for you. When is the last time you sing a song that shows the work of God in your life? We were singing some songs yesterday. And some songs, fairly good. Some songs, very good. Some songs we just love to hear sing. Then there's some other songs that feel good. You know what I'm talking about? It sounds good to the ear. Feels good to sing. Makes you kind of... But then all of a sudden you stop and think. And this one thing I've been dealing with Ethan lately is the rhythm of that song. You have to be very careful. Uh-huh. Rhythm is a very big, vital issue. What kind of rhythm should we have? I was in Killeen, Texas back in 2000. They asked me to preach a week on music. So we were preaching, one other brother and I, we were preaching about an hour, hour and a half each. 3 hours. One of the things that came across me as I began studying for that is that God has put within the human heart a proper rhythm. Okay? As if you look at the cadence, you know, military term, we know what cadence is, right? Which foot goes first? I just gave the... Which foot goes first? Are you sure? That's right. The left foot goes first. And I had to ask military guys this question. Okay? And I learned this way back in 2000. I said, you know, when you put that left goes first, the heartbeat runs on that left.
Uh-huh.
But the popular music of the day runs on the right.
Uh-huh.
It's emphasis on the wrong music. It has to be on the left. Why? That's a new song. What's the new song based on? A right heart. A correct heart. And a left foot always shows humility. Remember that. When we sing with a humble heart, we've got the right song. Okay? And I was so intrigued with that thought. Sing unto the Lord a new song. That's a humble song. That's the right song. That's a heartfelt song. He says, his right hand, amen? His right hand, that's power. Am I right? That's the powerful hand of God. And he says here, his right hand, his holy arm. I like that. Holy arm. What do we talk about a holy arm? What does that mean? When we say holy arm, what does that mean? You're allowed to put input, okay? What do we mean by a holy arm? Right hand, we understand powerful hand. Yeah. Sustaining hand. Creative hand of God. What is it?
Strength.
Okay. Holiness.
Purity.
What else do we think about when you think about a holy arm? We think about holy everything, but it's things of pure purity, doing right. But what about a holy arm? Is it?
Yeah, me, mine too.
Okay.
I fight with my left.
Which one do you write with?
My right hand.
Okay. So which one is going to be stronger?
Right.
Right. Which is more coordinated?
Right.
We're talking to Sister, I cannot pronounce her name. V-A-T-T-E-S.
Vadis.
She hurt her hand yesterday. Fell down, landed on that thumb. Guess what she was doing? Making fun of him yesterday because he's left-handed. He says, now I know how handicapped you really are. Okay? Trying to eat with her left hand. But you know what? It shows two things. That holy arm shows coordination. Coordination. God has everything in control. I don't know about you, but I want somebody who's in control of all things. You talk about the shipmaster, you know what he does? All he does is keeps his hand on that wheel. He's got control. That holiness shows God in his pure, right knowledge has controlled every situation in your life. Question is, do we allow God to control with his holy arm? We want to control with our understanding, don't we? We want to control with our experience. We want to control with our education. We want to control our situations with all the things that we're able to understand. God says, let me control it. I've got a holy arm that's in fully control with pure knowledge, right understanding. I praise God for his goodness and his faithfulness. For there the holy arm hath gotten him the victory. When we also think about the arm, there's one more thing. That's the holding of the sword is always in the hand. Okay? And if you know anything about jousting, it's not in the wrist movement so much. It's here, the arm. Okay? What is that? What do you have to have? Full control.
Oh, yes, sir.
Full control. So when you have victory, it's not in the wrist movement. It's in the power and the control of the arm. God says, I've got your victory.
I like it.
What are we trying to do? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? Where's our victory gained from? You see, the whole issue comes back. How is our worship? How is my song? Nehemiah, when they went to work, they were working on the wall. Opposition came. The enemy came. They tried to destroy. You know what they did? They had a trowel in the right hand. What did they have in the left hand?
Yeah, their weapon.
They had a weapon, didn't they? Defense. It was never for the purpose of destruction. It was never for the purpose of victory. It was only for defense. And if you look at an armored man today, his defense is the left hand. Right? The shield is always in the left hand. That's defense. No, Nehemiah didn't tell them, go have victory. He said, stand guard. Defend your families. God is the one who's going to give you the victory. We're fighting for our families. We're fighting for our churches. I'm sad to say, we've got to start fighting for our country. We are in a sad state because the heart of our country is wrong.
That's right.
The only way we're going to get a victory is with a holy arm. A right heart. A new song. Let's go back to Psalm 98. He says there, sing unto the Lord a new song. He had done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered mercy, his mercy, and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. What is worship ultimately going to show? The marvelous work of God.
Amen.
And all the heathen will know. All the unbelievers, all the skeptics, all the atheists, all those who deny the word of God, decry the power of God. My Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. The firmament showeth his handiwork. When I see the beauty of this creation. Okay? Sam, right?
Tim,
sorry. I met Sam yesterday, the day before, right? I met Tim. We looked at that gorge down there and I said, you know how many millions of millions of years I took? Right? Is that the power of God? No, it's not. Millions and millions and millions of years is not the power of God. God in his miraculous, powerful hand shows to every human heart his great work. The question is, who do we bow down and worship? In India, we ask a simple question to the people. Very simple question. Who do we worship? The God who made us with his hands? Yep. Or the God that we make with our own hands?
Come on.
You see, our imagination creates a lot of gods, creates a lot of idols. And the wickedness of man's imagination is the fruit of every false religion. But he says here, they're going to see my work and they'll glorify his name throughout all the heathens. Why? Someone's got a clean heart. Someone's got a new song. Someone's proclaimed the goodness of God. Let's go to verse 5, I think it is. No, verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the land. Make a loud noise, rejoice and sing praise. Now, I'm sorry, but many of our contemporary people, they believe a loud noise is all it takes to glorify God. If it's loud, it's got to be right. No, he's make a joyful sound. How many have heard of Hillsong? Wicked, popular, religious group out of England, based out of Europe. I was in Netherlands back in about 2006 when I got stranded there. I got in the country and the airport authorities would not let me process to go on the board the plane to India. I have my card, my OCI card, which allows me as a citizen, but I did not have the old passport where the stamp was in. You say, you gotta carry both. I said, ma'am, I have been traveling for 9 years. I've never carried the other one. Oh, they've changed the rules. We can't let you go. So I guess I was not allowed to board that flight. I had to go to the Indian embassy in that country, get a temporary visa for a lifetime visa I already have, because I didn't have my old passport. I have a new passport, but it didn't have that stamp. So as I'm waiting at the embassy, I decided to go out for a cup of tea. I walk into this restaurant and I'm the only one in the restaurant. I order a cup of tea, sitting there. The proprietor comes out. He said, where are you from? I told him. Told him why. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a missionary working in the land of India. He said, you know what? I was praying today a preacher would come. How do you go about that one? You know what I'm saying? He sat down in front of me, got a glass of water, sat down in front of me, began to pour out a little story. His wife and he were getting ready for a divorce. The business was going down. But he wanted somebody to talk to. I took the book and I began to share him. On the sound system was playing this song. He said, can't you tell we're a Christian? I said, no, I couldn't tell. He looked at me kind of weird. I said, that doesn't sound like Christian. I thought it was some rock group. You see, the world has that idea that it has to be loud, it has to be popular, it cannot be different than anything else. And that's the stage we've gotten to ourselves in Christianity, is our worship has to be popular. No, it doesn't.
No.
Our worship must be true, heartfelt. But our worship doesn't have to be loud, amen? And this is one thing I teach our Indian people. When we come to worship, it always brings us and drives us to our knees. True worship. True music with the right rhythm will always bring you to the point of worship. And it comes down to our knees. Bows down. Got an orphanage in India and I had VBS in India. We got some new people coming in. They bring their music. And it's always a tough situation when you're not there.
Yep.
So they posted a video and I jumped on it right away. I said, watch that music. I don't want to see my kids jumping around.
Yep.
When we're singing, it's not about jumping, amen? It's not about waving your hands. Oh, I don't have a problem with action songs. I really don't. Okay? Don't get me wrong. Kids can have a lot of fun with music. I love having a lot of fun with music. Rounds, choruses, action songs, you name it, we're gonna have fun. But don't get your music so you're jumping the kids all the time. Why? That's not heartfelt. It won't be a new song. It won't be a life-changing song. It will not be an impacting song. Understood? All it is emotional charge. We've got to come to the realization that it's a joyful sound. Okay? A joyful noise. And I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter. The bucket. Sing. Sing for the glory of God. Okay? God is not looking for the great, talented people to worship Him. God wants all men to worship.
Amen.
Okay? And some people say, well, I can't sing. Sing anyway. Sing anyway. Why?
That's right.
That's the new song. It's not about how pretty it sounds. Okay? It's a matter of how much joy do you have. Are you able to rejoice when you sing? Does it make a difference? Then he says, make a loud noise. Rejoice. Sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp. Instruments? I know some people have problems with instruments. Okay? Some people have a problem with drums. Some people have a problem with guitars. Can I tell you what? A piano is nothing but a guitar and a drum instrument put together.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a percussion instrument with strings. God says use it all. Use it all. Music is not all moral. Please don't get me wrong. But instruments are all moral. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Means every instrument that we have, we can use it either for good or bad.
Yeah.
Okay? It has no morality to it, right and wrong. But music has morality. Because it comes from the heart. A right heart sings right music. A wicked heart will always have wicked music. There's a morality to music. All right? So he goes on and says, whoops, sorry. With trumpets, sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord. That's Jehovah. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Make it before the Lord, not before men. I like to hear a brass. I like to hear strings. I like to hear an orchestra. It just thrills my heart because I understand each one of those instruments represents each different member of the human race. Does that make sense to you? Just like the hand shows the different parts of the body.
Yeah.
Okay? Instruments do the same thing within the church. The more instruments we have, the more we realize we are the instruments used by God.
Amen.
Some have deep voices. Now, I covet my son's voice, okay? He has the ability to sing high and very low. Okay? God gave him an awesome voice. I told him, you use it for God's glory.
Amen.
Okay? Use it for God's glory. All of my kids, they can sing. And they all sing different parts. Okay? I'm the one that has the poorest voice, but I'm the one who pushes them to sing the loudest. Okay? Why? I want every member, every instrument to be used. Do you know when God created a creature by the name of Lucifer? You know what he was? He was an instrument. He was an instrument. The Bible says tabrets were built in him. Pipes were in him. Now, I can't describe that kind of creature, okay? But you read Ezekiel chapter 1. Maybe we'll preach on that tomorrow afternoon. Okay? But the whole idea of God creating instruments within us is for His glory. We are instruments of righteousness, the New Testament tells us. What kind of instrument are you today? Making a loud noise, a beautiful noise, a rejoicing noise? Instruments are made for different purposes, okay? Well, I'm not used enough. You know what? The cymbal's only made once in a while to a rhythm, okay? Well, I'm not loud enough. Wait a minute. You heard of the piccolo? It's a little smaller than that flute. But guess what? When everything else plays, nobody's going to hear a piccolo.
That's right.
Okay? But they still have it in the symphony. It's amazing. God has all these things work together to produce a beautiful sound of worship. Okay? Going on. And then he gives the example of nature. Okay? And that's what brought my attention to this today. He says, let the sea roar. Verse 7. The fullness thereof. Mm-hmm. How many don't like to go to the sea? How many don't like to go to the sea? Just to watch, to see, to hear, to watch the sunrise. Watch the sunset, right? God says, I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it. There's a fullness thereof. Amen? The world, all they that dwell in. God put us in this world. Don't seek any other one. Amen. There's a lot of people in India, they want to get out of India. And I asked the question. In fact, I was just talking to somebody the other day. They're planning on getting married. I said, what are you going to do when you get married? Well, we're going to live somewhere else in this place. Then we're going abroad. We're going out. I said, who told you to go out? Did God tell you to go out? No. You see, the whole idea, God put us in one place. Serve Him till the day you die in that place. Seek no other place until God moves you. That's the world that we live in. Dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity. God is the ultimate judge. My question is, how is our worship? Are we instruments? Do we have a new song? Are we in the place God has called us to worship? Why? He's coming one day to judge the world. But He's going to take each one of us with His equal, with His meter, with His standard, with His baton. Okay, He's the choir master, amen? He's the choir master. With His baton, He's going to meet judgment. That's the word equity there. With His standard. Let's pray. Preacher.
Father, I thank You for what we've heard, and I thank You for that eye-opening, the worship of God, the music of God, the eyes of God. Thank You for that. And I pray, my God, that You'll mightily use this message here and those that heard it and those who will hear it. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.